If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for Black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We are also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today's guest, you see him on the screen if you're on the YouTube version. You've probably seen him also on social media. He makes funnier tweets than my blind rage ones. His name is Eric J. Thompson. What's going on, Eric?
Oh, you know, I'm just living in a world where Blake Brandel is an all-pro and Sam Darnold's the best quarterback in the NFL, just like we all expected. I mean, like, yes, the Giants are bad, but like somehow worse than advertised even. Than we thought the Giants were going to be bad, but like that was the largest scoring margin of the KOC era, the biggest winning margins since before COVID, I think, for the Vikings. I think it was 2019 against the Chargers. And yes, the road is going to get much, much tougher starting on Sunday. But what a way to start, where the Vikings are 1-0. Like, that life is good, at least one weekend.
It's funny to me how quickly the hype machine can get fired up, right? Right. Like, everybody's going, this is going to be a rough season. We got bad vibes. You know, J.J. McCarthy goes down and, you know, it might be a loss. And then all of a sudden you smash the Giants. It's like, all right, here we go. Niners, potential NFC championship game preview right here. Sunday, U.S. Bank Stadium. Let's go.
Sure. Okay. I think we're all pumping the brakes at least for that. But again, you have to beat the opponents in front of you to have any sort of chance. And the Vikings did just that on the road. Good way to start. But yeah, just a little tougher, I think, starting on Sunday.
Well, we'll talk about the 49ers matchup in just a little bit, but I want to talk about the win over the Giants one last time, because there's a lot of things that we can look at that game and go, I don't know, can we buy this? Can we sell this? I mean, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, of course, from the stock market. I thought that would be a proper appropriate topic for this show. So I'm going to hand it off to you here. What should we be buying after the Vikings victory over the New York Giants in week one?
Well, I think there are two main takeaways you can have from that Giants game that are relatively that seems sustainable, at least through week one. I think the first was the play calling of Kevin O'Connell. I thought some of the designs on the plays were absolutely amazing. I think the two that stood out the most to me were the touchdown to Jefferson, just that goal line. It was just as simple as using a little bit of misdirection, putting Aaron Jones in motion just to get that one-on-one. And still, that's a tough throw for Darnold to make, but he knew that, it's one-on-one to Jefferson. It's fourth down. This is for, this is for all the momentum to go up by two scores, and he nailed it. I thought that was really – and the other one I think is probably my favorite of the whole game was the long pass to Oliver that set up the first touchdown for Aaron Jones. I mean, it was out of 21 personnel. You have Jones and C.J. Ham back there in the backfield, and it looks like a run all the way. All of a sudden, Ham pulls a safety out, and it's four verts out of 21 personnel. Big completion down to Oliver, sets up the first touchdown. Just the stuff like that. He was, as the kids say, in his bag, I believe, on Sunday. Like it was really cool to see. He made Darnold's job easier with the play calling. I thought that was really great. I think the other thing, speaking of Darnold, I think, is he going to be the highest rated quarterback at the end of the season like he is at the end of week one by PFF grade? No, he's not going to be. He's probably going to have some bad games. But I think we saw the sustainable part is Sam Darnold, serviceable quarterback. I think we're obviously going to need, we're going to need him for a lot longer than we'd hoped with McCarthy. I think everyone was kind of cool with Darnold starting the season and letting McCarthy be eased in. Obviously not an option anymore. It's Darnold for the long haul, health permitting. But like, if he can play with the offense and deliver on time like he did, I mean, the offense should stay afloat. I mean, that 44-yard pass to Jefferson, that was money. Like that was, he had his footwork, he had his timing, perfect placement on the long ball. If he can do that a handful of times and stay within the offense and stay within the timing, combined with that, the play calling, I think the offense is going to be actually okay this year. So like, I think those two, that's what really stood out for me for week one. On the other side, it's really hard for me to get too excited about the defense just because the Giants seem to shoot themselves in the foot so much on offense. I think we saw some really good things, but I think those are the two main takeaways. I think if the play calling and the quarterback play can stay close to what they had in week one, I think it's going to be really exciting.
Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. I'll start there because you kind of mentioned it a little bit. Kevin O'Connell's play calling. Dan Orlovsky had a money quote this week, and he said, some people call plays, some people call games. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin O'Connell goes into it and I think it's, who was it? Bill Walsh that said, I'm going to script my first 15 plays of the game. And now everybody does it. Like Kevin O'Connell will script situations. And, I make fun of it all the time because he says it at press conferences, but situations, outcomes, all this other stuff, and try and figure things out. And I think the one thing that helped him on Sunday call a masterclass game was an actual running game on the ground. Mm-hmm. Last year they tried to make Alexander RB1. It didn't work out. Now they have an actual RB1 in Aaron Jones. And for 1 week, he looked like he was the answer. He was fast. He didn't go down after contact. J.K. Dobbins was the only player with more yards after contact in week one. Dobbins had 7.8 yards. Aaron Jones had 5.29 yards. And a 78.6% success rate for Aaron Jones. For those who are not versed in the analytics, that means 40% of yards needed on first down, 60% of yards needed on second down, and 100% of yards needed on third and fourth down. That's what Aaron Jones did. And when you have that running game going and getting big gains and even getting touchdowns, we saw a rushing touchdown from the Vikings. It was like an out-of-body experience. Like, I like what's going on with this running game, and I love seeing Aaron Jones in purple. He's hyped now. He's in front of the media. He's doing the skull chant this afternoon.
Beautiful.
And just, yeah, I mean, I really like Aaron Jones after week one.
Yeah, and I think that's another big part of the offense. It opens up so much for KOC. And just the little things, like he was falling forward for a yard or two on every run. When's the last time we saw that? Like maybe 2021 Dalvin Cook? And his touchdown run where he broke it outside. It was obviously supposed to go probably in between the guard and tackle. And he bounced it outside and beat to the defense to the edge. I tweeted out right after that. I'm like, it's already worth it. The acquisition is already worth it because that's not a touchdown last year. It really wasn't. Like the Vikings didn't have anyone that could do that. And yeah, Jones, I think tweeted out right after that's like make sure to thank all the Packers fans in your life for sending us Aaron Jones, because that is got to twist the knife while you can, because they're the only team that doesn't ever win in the NFC North. And he's such a great fit, and every Packers fan that I know is like bummed out to not have Aaron Jones. They really liked him, and on and off the field, he's everything you could to dream of. And yeah, those numbers are insane. The 7.8 by J.K. Dobbins is nuts, and the 5.29 by Jones. And it wasn't like Jones had a super long 60-yard run in there either. He was just getting 7, 8, 9, 10-yard chunks. And if the Vikings can do that and stay ahead of the sticks for once, instead of being in the second and 11 and third and 9 and all that stuff, it's going to make such a big difference. And yeah, that's another really exciting part of this offense.
And the other thing that made that tick, you mentioned Blake Brandel a little bit. We'll get to him in a moment, but the offensive tackles, money worth every penny. Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill allowed one pressure each. Kayvon Thibodeau was so flustered, he didn't even answer questions. He like just sides in there like, hey, you guys are getting paid a lot of money to be the pass rush. What are you? Next question. Yep. Next. You know, both guys are healthy after getting banged up last offseason. And I think, you know, this goes back to the infrastructure for Sam Darnold. I know we were kind of beaten over the head with it during the offseason, but you have two bookend offensive tackles. You have a running game. You have a great stable of receivers, assuming most of them can stay healthy. You know, I am not buying Sam Darnold as the number one PFF quarterback. It would be fun. It would make for an out-of-body experience season. But I think that Kevin O'Connell has put himself in a position and put Sam Darnold in a position where he can get the best out of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, and I was so worried about Dexter Lawrence. And rightfully so, because he is a massive nose tackle. And what have the Vikings struggled with since seems like the last 17 years, maybe since Jeff Christie, they can't handle that. And he absolutely blew up. But like, I remember like, holy crap, like the Giants have two stud defensive ends on this team. He was supposed to be one of the biggest free agent acquisitions of the offseason. He got him from Carolina. And to be honest, like while I was watching the game on Sunday, yes, I was worried about Lawrence on every play, and because he was usually a problem, if anything went off, it was probably Lawrence. But for these tackles to shut down that kind of edge rushers, you know, like that's a pretty good a duo that they pretty much were made quiet the whole game. And yeah, like if they can stay healthy, that's a big if, because I think O'Neal has really been struggling since for the last year plus with injuries, and Darrisaw, of course, missed a few games. But if those two can stay healthy as bookends, it is such a huge advantage for this offense. Again, the interior pressure is it seems like it's going to happen, but you can kind of scheme again with the motion and everything, you can scheme around it as long as you can depend on those tackles. Yeah, what a great start for both of them.
And I think too, I think back to the Hard Knocks with the Giants, the offseason edition. And I've said it before, no team is ever going to do that again, because we know how the sausage is made. We know what they were thinking throughout the entire offseason. Joe Shane says, all right, Daniel, go ahead and win us. We're going to let Saquon Barkley walk. You better go win this, because it's not my problem. Problem is, he signed him to that $40 million contract, boosted the offensive line, and he boosted that edge rushing group, and both groups did not work, which is why, you know, yeah, the defense, I'm selling it a little bit, but I'm also buying it a little bit, because that edge rusher room, I think it's really good. I think Andrew Van Ginkel was more than advertised. He had that interception, the pick six, and then he also had a sack mixed in there. Dallas Turner had a sack. It was a weird play, because PFF's like, Andrew Thomas was so good, he didn't allow a sack. Well, he was engaged with Turner, and then he ran around him for the sack. So I don't know what they're doing there. Patrick Jones had two sacks. That's how good the Vikings pass rush was. And then he had Jonathan Grenard with five pressures. I know Krauser, who is a prominent social media guy in the Vikings sphere, was tweeting about win rates and how Danielle Hunter had the bigger win rate. I don't think the Vikings are going to miss him all that much, because they have so many different options now where they can attack the quarterback. And even if it is Daniel Jones or even Brock Purdy, I think the Vikings can get pressure, and that is the key to Brian Flores' defense.
Yeah, and again, they're going to miss Hunter, because he's still a very good player, and Krauser was absolutely right for pointing that out. But when you compare, okay, would you rather have Hunter, or would you rather have Grenard? Would you have Van Ginkel and all these other players? Then it's like, oh, okay. Then that's, I mean, Van Ginkel was absolutely amazing. He was just the Swiss Army knife of the defense. He was, to me, looked like, especially seeing a lot of these film recaps, just he was like the linebacker version of prime Harrison Smith in that Zimmer defense. He was lining up all over the place, pre and post snap. You weren't exactly sure where he's coming from, and neither did Daniel Jones, because there were a few of those plays where it just like, I mean, either Van Ginkle stiffed it out on his own, or he was schemed up by Flores there. That was great. The Dallas Turner, yes, he had the sack. I wish he would have had a little more consistent impact, but it's always great for a rookie to start his season with that. And yes, Patrick Jones, you wrote in our notes it was the DJ Wonnum special. Like, that's the basically.
It's all schemed up. Yeah.
Where Hunter chased him over to Wonnum's side and he got two or three sacks. No, Wonnum had a few good games. But yes, like, that's because everyone was up in arms. Well, Patrick Jones had two sacks. Why was his PFF grade so low? And it's like, I don't treat either like gospel, but I think the Grenard having five pressures, that's the most promising thing. That's the most consistent thing, because again, sacks are such a volatile stat. You can't lean on those, but yes, I mean, they had 26 total pressures as a defense. I'll take that every week, because that's way above average, especially what they've been doing the last couple of years.
It's funny we're talking about this too, because you're an FCS fan. You're a North Dakota State alum. I cover the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, and we're in crisis over here in Brookings when it comes to our pass rush, because I don't know if they got a sack against Incarnate Word, but they definitely didn't against Oklahoma State, which that's totally explainable because Oklahoma State's really good.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are freaking out because the Jackrabbits don't have a lot of sacks right now, but they're getting constant pressure, which is kind of what everybody's saying. Like, hey guys, like, pressure's the thing here. It's not all about sacks, because it's a 1 in 1,000th percentile outcome. You have to create pressure in order to get in the mind of a guy like Daniel Jones. And as we saw on Sunday, he kind of just fell apart. Let's go to the other side of the coin here. What should Vikings fans be selling after week one?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, again, it's exciting and everything. Thinking that week one is a harbinger of things to come on all sorts of levels. Yes, not just the opponent that was the Giants that looked really, really bad in a lot of different areas. Week one's weird, just like in general, because, and especially nowadays with the basically no preseason for a lot of really good NFL players, it's amazing to see how, you know, what's the classic one where the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl, the Bills blew them out like 31-0 or something to start the season, and everyone was up, and like, you take these things with a grain of salt. And like, I'd love to dance on the Packers' grave after losing, but yes, it was against the Eagles and it was in Brazil. Who knows what either of those teams is going to do? So pumping the brakes on, like, okay, yes, we're trying to project out of things that are sustainable and everything, but just the opponent combined with just the very beginning of the season, if you look, there's going to be a lot of results, not just with the Vikings, but across the NFL, where you look back at week one, it's like, how did that team do that in week one compared to how they ended up? And I think the other thing is that selling the fact that first drives are this hard. So six of the last 16 games, that's like 39%, if I'm doing my math right. They have turned the ball over on the first drive, including week one. Love you, CJ Ham. Only a second fumble of his career. Not going to hold against him. He's still an important part. Still got that motion out for the Oliver pass, like I've talked about. But it can't be that hard. It really is not that hard. And the other, on the flip side of it, it's not like, oh, hey, it's a turnover or they're having success. Only two, since the beginning of 2023, two of the last 18 games, they've actually scored a touchdown drive. That's that just can't be, like, I'm selling that part. Like, it's even as cursed as the whole Vikings franchise is, that can't be that hard. Like, that's the especially, you talked about opening scripts and how good KOC is at it. I mean, what was the first thing that popped through your head in that first one? It's like, oh my gosh,
here we go again.
It's going, it's we never left. This is the 2023. It's just a continuation.
I was wondering what kind of torture device Kevin O'Connell was going to buy on Amazon this time to make him hang onto the ball. Like, he had the big, like, American Gladiators jouster last year. Like,
yeah.
does he have like a shock collar or something? Just like, they drop the ball and
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, can they just like pretend they forfeited the first drive and then they can get on with it? So that's the good things that happened, you know, being week one, pump the brakes on it. And again, it can't be that bad on the first drives. Like, it just, like, a couple first downs and a punt. Like, that's, I'll consider that a win for the opening drive against San Francisco. Because they, I think even in that San Fran game that they won, didn't they turn, like, they threw an interception on the first drive.
Yeah.
Like, that was, because I was at that game. I was like, no way. we're going to get absolutely blown out. Then, of course, they ended up winning that game. So, yeah, anything's possible on a couple of fronts there.
And I think if you look at the good news there, they didn't turn the ball over. Sam Darnold threw an interception. I forgot about that. So they turned the ball over twice. You got to cut down on that. But that was like a fluky interception. Like, he went back to throw and he got clipped because here's a good segue. The interior of the offensive line allowed pressure.
We can sell them. Yes. Let's sell them.
This is like, I know, like, typically you would take something that's high and then you would sell it. This is like how I used to run my dynasty fantasy football team. Like, Keenan Allen just got me one catch for 5 yards. And I'm like, get the hell out of here. Yeah, I'll take a fourth round pick for him. I don't care. Like, get him off my team. I am selling the interior of this offensive line. Blake Brandel, God bless his heart. Great game, but next to him, Garrett Bradbury had 4 pressures. Sounds like he was dealing with a knee injury midway through, which that's not great considering that's been the story of his career the last 2 years. And then you have Ed Ingram, who I was kind of optimistic on because he cut his pressures by a third in his sophomore season compared to his rookie season. But on Sunday, it just completely went down the crapper. Dexter Lawrence threw him around like a chew toy. He had 6 pressures. Coincidentally, Ed Ingram gave up 6 pressures. Lawrence had the most pressures for a front 7 defender, according to Pro Football Focus. And Ed Ingram also had 6 pressures, according to Pro Football Focus, which is the most among offensive guards. I don't know if this can improve. I don't know if you can scheme things away, but, you know, a team like the 49ers coming in, they're going to find a way to exploit that. They have Malik Collins. They have Javon Hargrove. They held the Jets to 62 rushing yards on Sunday. And you have Nick Bosa on the edge. I'm confident that the Vikings can slow down stuff on the edge, but, you know, if they get creative, put Bosa on the inside, maybe they send those guys a little bit quicker. I really think that this will, you know, be an issue for the Vikings. Eric has lost his connection, so he's ran out of here quick. I'm just gonna try and kill some time here. Oh, he gave me a yep. He said he's backstage again. Let's try and get that.
Okay,
hey, can you hear us?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was I was on the whole time, and all of a sudden my side of the screen went away, so I must have dropped just momentarily. So yep. As you were with the Dexter Lawrence nightmare scenario. Yes.
Well, and I also, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. No, it's kind of a segue into the 49ers thing a little bit, but the Vikings need that running game to succeed. As we talked about, the 49ers did an excellent job stopping the run. Yeah. It's week one, but the 49ers plan all offseason was to revamp that front 7 because they got gashed by the run last year. I think that's one of the biggest matchups heading into Sunday's game.
Yeah, just because if you let the 49ers control the ball with all the weapons that they have on that side of the ball, it's going to be a long night. And I think that's kind of what the Vikings, they stole it last.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Last year at home because they got a couple turnovers, which is big. And again, that's if we go back on the turnovers, that's one of the craziest stats of the KOC era. As long as they don't lose the turnover battle, they've never lost. They're 18-0. That's incredible. Like that's that's obviously key to the game too. But yes, keeping them, I think both sides of the running game. You know, it sounds like, I mean, speaking of dynasty fantasy, could you imagine having a Christian McCaffrey going into Monday night and then, oh, he's not playing? Apparently they knew that all weekend. You couldn't have told anyone, but it's not like that fell off. Their running game was still amazing against the Jets, and the Jets are a very good defense. Jordan Mason comes out, what's it, 147 yards or something like that. No big deal. They just plug and play. It's the Shanahan offense. So that's the thing. It's if the 49ers have the ball for 35 plus minutes, I really have unless there's a couple gigantic plays, it's going to be hard for me to imagine how the Vikings pull off the upset there.
I'll share a story about Christian McCaffrey and fantasy football because I decided to do, I'm only doing one league this year. It's a guillotine league with some friends.
Oh, so I have a story about that too. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go to you. Christian McCaffrey screwed all of us, the album, but, I had the second overall pick in our guillotine league, and I had to go to SDSU practice to talk to a couple of athletes. So I jumped on. The draft was at 8. Practice ended at 7:30. I looked at the order, and I saw I had the second pick. So I said, okay, I'm going to line this up accordingly. Because I haven't done, admittedly, because I'm not in the Dynasty League anymore, I don't follow the fantasy football landscape as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of going into this thing blind. So I look at it, and I go, Christian McCaffrey 1, CD Lamb 2, and I'm like, I'll get CD because CMC's going to go number 1. So I go to practice, and I'm sitting there. I'm going, practice gets done at 7:30. I'm feeling good. I'm going to be home to make my pick. No worries. I stand there, and they decide to have a captain's meeting at the end of practice, and the meeting just all of a sudden it's 7:50, and I'm going, oh no. So I talk to the people I need to talk to. I run to my car. I speed home. I run up the stairs to my apartment, come into the office where I'm sitting right now. And as soon as I set foot in this room, I hear, you have auto drafted. And I go, oh, crap, because that's never good, right? Like, if you miss your pick. So I turn around, I look. The guy in front of me took Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And I wound up getting McCaffrey, even though I wanted CD Lamb, but I was too stupid to put that on my queue. So I had Christian McCaffrey. I wound up surviving the guillotine league, but I'm kind of screwed. So with that in mind, how did Christian McCaffrey screw you over?
Well, mine was, I didn't even get McCaffrey. I just lost the first time I ever played guillotine league. I lasted 1 weekend. That was fun. It was a best ball league, and I didn't really know that going into the draft until about halfway through the draft. And so best ball means it's like, get your best optimal lineup. And so all of a sudden, like at the end, all these people, I'm just like, just waiting to take a kicker and a defense at the end, not thinking anything of it. All of a sudden about, like, you know, cause this is 18 teams and kickers are going left and right. I'm like, what? These guys already have like 2-3 kickers. I only end up with one. And it happens to be Indianapolis Colts kicker, Matt Gay, who was also a late scratch right before his game. I can't replace my kicker. If I could have, they had the waivers thing. So it's like, you can't pick up someone that day. You have to pick them up the following day. I was screwed. So I had 0 points. Even if I would have got the Colts replacement kicker who kicked one field goal and 3 extra points, that would have got me enough. I did not. So I lost.
I've heard of people like against the gun on Monday and hearing McCaffrey got dropped. So then they switched out for like Kyle Juszczyk, who is still out there. But now Christian McCaffrey's on waivers and everybody can bid on him. And it's just a complete mess. So thanks,
Myers. That was really fishy, like as far as the reporting goes. Like if they knew it and they're like, what he was, I guess he was listed as questionable, right? So they,
yeah,
legal, nothing technically, but boy, yeah, that was rough.
Well, and I also feel bad for Jordan Mason because it's like, oh, when did you fight? And he's like, oh, I kind of knew on Friday. And then mm-hmm. Everybody's like, what? But it also could have been, hey, Christian McCaffrey limped off the field on Friday. I'm like, man, I'm probably gonna start. Like, no, maybe nobody said anything to him, but I'm just giving everybody the benefit of the doubt because,
sure.
You know, Vikings 49ers, though, it's 12 p.m. U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday. 49ers favored by 5 points as we record this on Wednesday night. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green will be on the call. Melanie Collins on the sidelines will be televised on CBS. We already talked about the matchup in the trenches. You know, what do you think will be the biggest matchup in this game outside of that?
I think it's really going to be Aaron Jones versus the linebacking core of, because with the, just the studs that the 49ers have on every part of that defense, starting with Fred Warner. Like, I, for my money, it's still one of the best, if not the best, linebackers in football. I think he had 7-8 tackles against the Jets. It's just, he's always in the right spot. He's always disrupting things. And he's always the difference, both against the, you know, not just in the running game, but like in the passing game as well. He's the difference between a 2-yard gain or a 15-yard gain, and it's usually coming up on his side. And they have a really good secondary as well. I think maybe it's even more than the just Aaron Jones versus Fred Warner. I think it's really going to be more about the entire front seven of the 49ers, what they can do. Just to, again, it was super nice to be ahead of the sticks against the Giants. Can the Vikings get, you know, I don't think Aaron Jones is going to rattle off, 7.5 yards a carry and anything like that. But if they can stay ahead of that, and again, the time of possession is going to be big, because the more you give the Brandon Ayuks of the world, and even, you know, like all the, even without, you know, George Kittle and the Juszczyks of the world, and what do they call him? Third and Juwan. The Juwan Jennings. I think he had 5 catches in the game against the Jets too. They just have so many weapons they can throw at you, and they can just grind you down. Like this, the defense is improved, I think, for the Vikings. There are more weapons there. But if they can't get off the field against the 49ers and the Vikings can't maintain the drives, I think that's going to be so long, long, long story short, I think probably time of possession. I think that's the biggest matchup, to see who can hold on to the ball longer, because I think that's going to give their team a huge advantage.
When you think about it, it's almost Kevin O'Connell against Kyle Shanahan. Like, two guys mm-hmm. who are widely regarded as play callers, two guys that can get the most out of their eye. It's like two dudes with Madden controllers, like trying to
for sure.
control
yeah.
Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. And that might be offensive towards Brock Purdy. I think he's better than people give him credit for, because when you watch the tape, he's able to scramble, he extends plays, he's able to get the ball to those weapons, which, you know, we've seen it in the NFL. There have been stacked teams around a quarterback, and they can't get the weapons to him. Look at what's going on in Cleveland right now. I mean, there's off the field stuff going on there, but I mean,
as always,
Sean Watson can't get the ball to anyone. So there you go. Which player do you think will make the biggest difference for the Vikings on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I don't like that he showed up on the injury report today. But maybe this is just recency bias, but I really think it could be Van Ginkle, just because, again, like, they can show so many different looks and he can come at the offense from so many different angles. And with a team with as many offensive weapons as the 49ers have, it's just nice to counteract it with a player like Van Ginkle. So I don't think he practiced all, or maybe he was limited. It was a foot injury, pretty new. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just a little wary of that after, you know, you're having a great game and then all of a sudden you're sidelined, and what, that hasn't happened or anything yet this year, has it? Yeah. So like, but I really think he's going to be important again to shorten the drives. Like, that's to get the Vikings off the field on those crucial third downs. If it's third and medium and Van Ginkle can make a run stop or pressure Purdy into a quick incompletion, things like that. Because I think the other parts of the Vikings defense are pretty known. You know, I like how the majority of the secondary played in week one. It's going to be a much tougher task, but if there's enough time for Purdy to find his targets, he's going to. Like, I like the safeties. I like, you know, Harrison Smith getting his 35th interception of his career last week. But if there's time to throw, they're going to get picked apart. So I think just a wild card Swiss Army knife like Van Ginkle is going to be huge on Sunday.
I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball. And we talked about infrastructure. We talked about how well these pieces operate against the Giants, but they're starting to run out of guys. We're still waiting on TJ Hockenson. We might not get him until, you know, the calendar is close to November. Jordan Addison did not practice today with that ankle injury. Apparently it's the other ankle that is now injured, along with the ankle he rolled against the Browns in that joint practice. So I'm going to look at Jalen Naylor. Justin Jefferson's going to get his. He's the best receiver in the NFL, in my opinion, but they need somebody to take attention away from them. Part of that is going to be the running game with Aaron Jones. But as we mentioned, that battle in the trenches doesn't exactly favor the Vikings right now. If Jalen Naylor can get open and take attention away from Justin Jefferson, I think that'll make things easier for Sam Darnold. I think it would give him another target. I thought the tight ends actually played very well as well on Sunday with Josh Oliver and Johnny Munt. But they need that extra deep threat down the field, because we saw that on Sunday where Justin Jefferson's commanding a double team. Jalen Naylor's wide open in the corner. Can he step on the field and have a big impact against the 49ers defense that last year got kind of torched by wide receivers? So I don't know. This could be the Jalen Naylor breakout game.
I hope so, because I think they are going to need him, because all the early indications are sounding like Addison playing on Sundays. If I had to guess now, again, we're recording this on Wednesday night. Who knows what can happen over the next few days? As of right now, I'd be kind of surprised. And again, it stinks that it was his other ankle, but the way he got it rolled up on and the way that they were reacting to it right after it happened. Naylor's going to be there. I think he's going to get a lot of snaps and hopefully a bunch of targets, because again, sustaining these drives, you can't just have the Justin Jefferson show, because they're going to pay a lot of attention to him. But if they can spread it out, and if Naylor happens to be the guy on the other side, he's going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups. And if he can take advantage of those and Darnold can find him, that's huge.
So what's your prediction for Sunday's game?
It's been such good vibes and everything. This is the San Francisco 49ers. They're defending NFC champions for a reason. They have most of their weapons, even without McCaffrey. It doesn't sound like he's going to play on Sunday. They're still really, really good. And I think they have last year's game in the back of their heads. I was at that game. I was shocked as anyone at the Vikings pulled that one off last year. I'd love to pick the Vikings. I'd love to keep this surprise start going, but I think they're going to get a dose of reality. I think that the Vikings will keep it competitive. I don't foresee 49ers blowout, especially unless we go 7-for-17 games with that opening turnover and, you know, it snowballs from there. But I think the 49ers, there's just too much talent on both sides of the ball. If both teams execute, if KOC calls a good game and Shanahan calls a good game as well, I'm still giving the advantage to the 49ers, because they're the defending NFC champions. I believe they have the top, or, you know, the second or third best Super Bowl odds, and that's for a reason. They're very good. I think the Vikings are going to give them a fight. but I don't think I can pick them. I think I'll give the Niners. I think they'll probably Niners by a touchdown. I'll say 27-20. I'll pick them against the spread too, unless that spread really launches.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one because a couple weeks ago I looked at the 49ers and I said vibes are bad, not right? looking good. Yeah. And then they go out. But I mean, when you think about their game plan on Monday, it was just running the ball. It was Jordan Mason. And that offensive line is really good, where I think if they wanted to run Jordan Mason 30 more times and just gash the Vikings on the ground, I think they could do it. The amount of weapons the Vikings are losing on offense, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up. I do like the fact this game is at US Bank Stadium. Mm-hmm. I think that will give the Vikings an advantage, particularly on defense. But, you know, part of that win against the 49ers last year was that you had Christian McCaffrey at 50%. Trent Williams did not play in that game. I believe Deebo Samuel was out with a shoulder injury. So it was just Brandon Ayuk. And it was still a really close game where if Jordan Addison doesn't rip that football away on a zero blitz, you know, the Vikings probably don't win that game. So I am going to go with the 49ers. But again, I think it'll be close once again. I'll go 49ers 23, Vikings 20.
Okay. So you got the Vikings against the spread then, all right?
I'd
take that. I mean, obviously you want to take a win, but like there's no such thing as the happy losses, but like that,
right.
If they can show that they can hang with the NFC's best, I think that's really promising going forward. And yeah, we haven't even talked about Trent Williams. Like that was a big part of it. Like you can just tell Jordan Mason, see number 71 over there on the left, go behind him. He's going to clear six guys out for you.
Like, he'll give you a piggyback ride. Exactly. Just up on his back. And yeah, here's the thing too, the Vikings, again, there's no happy losses in the NFL. No more. Nobody's going to go and go, way to go. Yep. Kevin O'Connell's not going to hand out game balls for a loss. Mm-hmm. Like we know that much, but if the Vikings can hang around with the Niners and if they lose 23-20, like I'm predicting, you feel great about the first five games because Houston looked okay in game one against the Colts. I think the Colts are a pretty good team, and CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson both look like franchise quarterbacks. You go to Green Bay. Is Jordan Love playing? Because if he's not, you got a shot to win that game, even though things get a little weird in Lambeau. Then you go across the pond to go to Aaron Rodgers. And again, week one vibes. Maybe it was just playing a really good 49ers team, but I think that's, you know, 4-1's not out of the question. Like, even if they go 3-2 going into the bye, you're feeling good about things. And like I said, the goal for this team, I think it's a playoff berth. Like, make the playoffs. Because if you do that, you're going to feel really good when you get J.J. McCarthy in here and know that you're building towards something. And it's all about stacking good things together.
Yeah. Oh, God. Give me a 3-2 start with this. Like, right now, I will sign. Where do I sign for a 3-2 start? 4-1's. Like that's fever dream kind of stuff going into the bye. But yeah, like Texans is going to be a really tough game. Packers, just knowing the Vikings luck, Jordan Love will return for that game and he'll look great. But again, maybe not. If Malik Willis is the quarterback, I really like the Vikings chances, even if it's in Lambeau. And yeah, the Jets, that's TBD. Like, was it, again, is this week one weirdness? Is it Rodgers still working out the kinks after not playing for a year? I'm not ready to bury them by any means because they still got way too much talent on there. But yeah, I mean, that's you're covering South Dakota State all the time now. And you're like, now that they're on a bit of a run, you just assume everything is going to work out. Like I was deathly afraid of like a 1-5 or 1-6 start for the Vikings. Like you could have gotten like the Vikings, the loser of this Vikings Giants game, I think, would have had the best odds to be the last team without a win. Maybe the Patriots, but now the Patriots, of course, knocked everyone. Yeah, speaking of things I'm out in 1 week, survival pool. Thanks, Patriots. But yeah, like I will give you that the stretch is looking slightly easier than anticipated right now. But again, like if they can come out with a winning record going into the bye, then I'll maybe start believing. Like this is going to be the first huge test. Yes, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people picking the Vikings, and I understand. I think Daniel Jeremiah did. I think that was the only one person I've seen pick it so far. But yeah, like it's going to be a very tough test. But again, progress. This is again, I think most Vikings fans, this is a house money kind of season. Everything is gearing up toward 2025. Like, do we expect this to be a Super Bowl team? No. I'd love it for it to be a playoff team. The playoff is, as you know, I don't want to go all Jim Mora on you, but like that's huge if they can even like compete for that, I think, this year. But to have enough building blocks, to have enough pieces, to have the JJ McCarthy coming next year and all this cap space coming, I think that's really the goal of 2024 season.
It beats 9-8 with Kirk Cousins, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to, like, I understand the people that bitch, oh, why are you still talking about him? It's like, well, week one, you got to kind of compare it here. And Cousins doesn't look healthy. Like, that's, no. But like, yes, I threw out a couple stats. Like I did, I might have inched, you know, like, hey, I've seen this. Oh, he checked down on third down late in the game. Oh, that's he like things like that. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't have to talk about him anymore. Yes, he'll come up. The guy was our quarterback for the past 6 years, and the Falcons, even after looking as bad as they did week one, like they should still be competitive in probably the worst division in football, at least on paper. Like it's going to be interesting for that. But yeah, it beats it. Like it's there's more things on the table than, okay, we're going to finish slightly above 500 and probably not win a playoff game. Like that's just doing, it was driving me insane after 6 years. So this is, it's a fun, fresh new start, even though we'll probably have to take some lumps this year.
It's the sickos meme. It, like, you know, the guy's like pressed up against the window and he's going, yes. Yeah. Like they're bitching about the line. Yes. They're not running play action. Yes. This is great. Like, yeah, I don't know. All the success to the Atlanta Falcons, and maybe someday they'll turn to their rookie quarterback with two bad knees. Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Eric. But before we go and I do my little thing to log off, where can people follow you on social media?
Well, I just on that, I'm calling it Twitter. It's not X. It's Twitter. Yes. at Eric_J_Thompson. Still there. Still the same place. That's where I'm posted. I don't really consistently write too much. Shout out to Daily Norseman for 15 plus years there, but work life and real life got in the way too much for me to fully commit there. But I'm always around online and making stupid memes and jokes and all that fun stuff on Twitter. That's that, at least for Vikings related stuff, that's the best place to find me.
You're even a muse for Vikings writers, because you the Minnesota, or what, which one is it, the How I Met Your Mother meme in Little Minnesota with Marshall Erickson pounding on the table, Matthew Collar went and did a full-blown article on it. So
yeah, like that was fun. He DM'd me. He's like, first thing I thought of when I was talking to the How I Met Your Mother creator was you, because you post that GIF all the time. Like, fair. Yep, I do. that was a really fun conversation. And I was asking Collar all sorts of stuff. I'm like, so what did he say about this? What did he say about this? So like the writer was just a huge Vikings fan. It was a cool article to read too.
Yeah, it's very cool. If you haven't seen it, go check out Purple Insider. Damn. Anyway, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today, though. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Eric Thompson, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.